Hi friends, welcome to Reside Podcast. Here we celebrate stories of individuals creating community in their own unique spaces. I'm Brooke, your host. Cultivating community is something I am so passionate about, which is why I created this podcast. Life isn't meant to be lived alone, and I hope you leave each episode feeling encouraged to make your own space a better place for everyone, and ultimately know you aren't alone in your journey. On today's episode, I'm talking to Susie Daly, founder, creative director, and visionary behind Renegade Craft. Founded in 2003, Renegade Craft has organically developed into one of the broadest reaching in-person platforms for artisans to showcase their work, with the ultimate goal to mobilize and empower creatives from every corner. I attended my first Renegade in Austin, Texas with my friend Marissa and was immediately captivated by the sense of community it creates for its guests. The space it cultivates for artists and shoppers to connect is so unique and hands down beats any afternoon at the mall. The community that Renegade Craft has created over the years epitomizes this idea of fostering a warm and welcoming community for all. And Susie's story is one that left me feeling energized. Okay, I've said enough. Let's jump into my conversation now with Susie. I am here today with Susie. Okay, Susie, you're going to have to help me say your last name. Is it Daly or Daly?
Daly.
Daly. Okay, perfect. Yes. I wanted to inflict my Texas accent on it, but just wanted to make sure that's the right way. I'm here with Susie Daly, and Susie, I am so excited to be talking to you today on the Reside podcast. Renegade Craft Fair is one of the things when I think about creating community. You've created something that really embodies that. And so I'm really excited to talk to you and to dive into what that's looked like for you and what your journey has been. Yeah, maybe you can just start off with sharing a little bit about who you are for the listeners, and we can go from there.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be speaking with you today. Yes, my name is Susie Daly, and I'm the founder, principal, and creative director of Renegade Craft. And Renegade got its start way back in 2003, and was one of the first events of its kind. There's lots of events like it now, kind of like in each little community, but yeah, we were one of the first events of its kind doing these kind of contemporary art and craft fairs.
You started it back in 2003. It's 2021. Maybe you can just share with me a little bit about really your vision when you were first starting it back in 2003. You said there's a kind of a lot of those things going on now, but this was really the first of its kind. How did that idea come to be, and what need did it meet?
At that time, I had just graduated college, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go on and continue and get my master's or didn't know at all. So I basically just took a year off, and I was just like working, you know, in the service industry, and I started making jewelry at the time, just for fun. And I basically started selling a little bit online. There were like a few of these independent websites before Etsy and all that. It was like just artists kind of like putting together like a small online shop of other artists they liked. And there wouldn't even be a lot, you know, there would be maybe like 20 to 50 at tops, and started selling on there to some success. And then was like wanting to bring this into the world, wanting to sell my work in person, because I was living in Wicker Park, Chicago at the time. And there are lots of little art fairs and stuff, but like they were either kind of unapproachable seeming, like you needed to have slides made, for example, for some of these events, or, you know, just was not at all approachable. They were very expensive. My good friend at the time, who was also making things, and I were kind of just like, maybe we should try to do this event that brings out these like contemporary crafters that was like just coming on the scene, and like online sales were becoming a thing. But we were like, it'd be really cool to bring everyone kind of in person. We weren't even thinking it would be these people, because we knew they were based all over the place. So we were thinking just in Chicago, let's start our own thing and see what happens. But it wasn't even intended as a business or a real venture. It was really kind of just for fun, just to see what would happen that very first one.
So what was that first one like? I guess what were kind of your expectations going into it? And then what was the first one like after it happened?
I think we thought it was going to be a one-time thing. Well, we certainly didn't think beyond that, right? You have to see how the first one goes. And so we were just thinking this, you know, one time kind of event. And we started putting calls out for artists like locally and some of the local papers and stuff, the readers, like, you know, something your Chicago fans will know about. But that wasn't super successful. Like, we just weren't getting a ton of engagement or interest. And so we happened upon this sample sale, this Built by Wendy sample sale, and the editor of one of our favorite magazines at the time was kind of running this very small sample sale. And we just kind of got to talking, and we told her about our idea, and she thought it sounded really cool and was like, well, I have this newsletter and I'd be happy to throw a small ad in there for like $75 and see what happens. So we did that. And from there, we started getting applications from artists like all over the US. And I don't mean like hundreds or anything like that, but we did end up with that first fair had, I think, I want to say 50 to 75 vendors that we even drew that many people that very first year was pretty surprising, but it just illuminated the fact that there wasn't really anything else like this out there. And so we were onto this idea for this new kind of like burgeoning craft community. So that was really cool.
When you say you walked into uncharted territory, like it's weird to think about that being uncharted territory now, because you have, like, you know, of course, like Etsy is huge. And then, I mean, there's not like a big city on a weekend that doesn't have like tons of little pop-up markets and things that you can go on to that, at least for me, like create a community in a place that I'm living. That's just super neat to think that you guys, you know, paved the way for something that feels really normal now, in a sense.
I know. Isn't that bizarre? I think at the time, too, it was like we couldn't even apply to certain events because we were making craft. And at that time, it was like all about fine art and craft was like shunned. I don't know. I think it got a bad name just because of like all the kind of folksy craft fair, like the older version, you know, is what came to mind at that time was like, when you said craft, it was almost like, oh, what? And now everybody makes things almost like it's very much like a staple of our culture again. And I think for a while, it's sad, but I think it disappeared except in maybe more rural communities. I'm not sure. Yeah, it really disappeared more from like the big cities and things.
How have you seen kind of evolve over time in a way, like you say that craft and like making things, it wasn't common in the beginning, and then it's kind of, you know, become more just mainstream is the wrong word. But how have you seen that impact Renegade over the years?
I think it's awesome, first of all. I think, you know, yes, like Etsy and all these, you know, other online selling platforms, and you know, anybody can have a website and things now. Like, it's just more empowering for people to make a living doing something like this that probably wasn't as possible. Yeah, in the 90s. And then so when it became more feasible, like to just watch it explode has been really cool. And then I really think at the base of it is just better that more people can have like a stake in their own, taking their creativity and being able to make a living out of it, essentially. You know, I mean, there's different levels of that. Obviously, some people are very much hobbyists, and then, you know, but a lot of people are able to make this their living. And I think that's awesome. And then another just like example of that, though, like clear cut was, you know, around like 2008 when that whole financial and housing crisis happened. I remember at the time, I had like just opened a store, and I'm not sure like how much it affected my store, because we didn't have a ton of data, you know, leading up to that. But like, I remember the fairs, you know, we kept growing at around that time. And I think it's because a lot of people were laid off and didn't, you know, have another option, or this was another supplemental thing for them, their side hustle or whatever. And then I think, you know, we're probably going to see that again now, you know, some newer crop of people that with the pandemic will turn to this and have turned to this and did a lot last year.
Going back to kind of that initial event in Chicago, What was kind of the journey for you to thinking like, okay, this is going to be a thing. Like this is going to be, what was that journey like for you from, hey, this might just be a one-time thing. We're, you know, meeting a need here to what it is today, essentially.
It was very organic, to be honest, which I think is best. So that initial fair, I had mentioned we had vendors coming from all over. And so one of them had mentioned to me, like, hey, next time, do you think you could make this a two-day event? Because I'm flying in and it would just make the trip all more worthwhile if I could have another day out of this. So I was like, that's a great idea. That's essentially just how we grew the second year. You know, we just did it once in 2003 and then planned just one follow-up one in 2004, making it 2 days. Mm-hmm. Also learned, just like that's when we were like, okay, the first one, I mean, I don't even know if we made money or not. It was like definitely not the objective. But that second time around, we had to be like, okay, we have some costs. We need to think about this a little closer. Yeah, it just made sense to do that. And then I think that same year, I was probably in New York, just on a trip with a friend of mine, and stumbled upon McCarran Park in Brooklyn, which reminded me a lot of Wicker Park in Chicago, where we started the fair. And it kind of just hit me there, like, could this be a venue for Renegade? The park permit process at the time in Chicago was very straightforward, very easy. So that all happened. I was like, all right, I guess I'll look into it in New York and see what happens. And that's what made us start that first fair in Brooklyn in 2005. We did that and I think started adding like a holiday fair in there in Chicago also in 2005. Kind of kept it steady for a year, but then it was like I had a business partner early on. And before we even did the fairs, we had this dream of opening a brick and mortar shop and we were collecting vintage clothing and all this stuff. So in 2007, we decided to open a brick and mortar store that was like half vintage and then half bringing in this new like Renegade idea. Yeah, so like we did that in 2007. And then she wanted out of the business and I was like, okay, I'll continue doing this. Then, you know, I was like, I really love San Francisco. I'm going to bring this to San Francisco. And just because I love to travel, I was like, where can I bring this next? It kind of went gradually from there. And then artists started, you know, artists were still coming from all corners of the U.S. to participate. And so I was hearing from all these people, like, you should come to Austin, you should come to L.A., you should come to my city, essentially. And so we, you know, did that basically on these requests. And it definitely, I think each one was like starting a new kind of business. So not that anything happened, but they each kind of took a few years, I think, to mature into their own. And then kind of when that would happen is like, when we would gradually explore newer, smaller cities. Yeah, that's kind of been the progression, is just like adding a city every year or two, adding a holiday fair every year or two, until we eventually had like 24 events in 2019 is where we left off with Renegade. So yeah, we were in a bunch of cities and doing 24 events. And I don't know that we'll scale that way again, bringing, you know, Renegade back. But that was definitely, yeah, that was the progression of it all over those like 17 years. Yeah.
That's amazing. And it's neat to hear, though, how it grew organically and you saw a need, you met it, you weren't even sure if it was going to be a thing. And I think so many people, I'm so guilty of this, of like seeing people's success kind of on the back end and seeing like all of the, like the scalability and just how big it is and well known and all of the things, and forgetting the like journey to getting there. You know, like you said, you were like the only person that was, you know, working those things for a while and still selling your jewelry and all of those things. So that's pretty neat to hear the journey.
It's been so much fun. Yeah, I love traveling. So traveling for work was like definitely a dream of mine.
What, I don't know if I asked you this, but what did you study in school? Was this kind of in line with what you were going to do post-college or?
No, not at all. I actually, and maybe one day still will, but I wanted to be like a therapist since I was like a little kid. So I always thought I would become a psychologist, and that's what I got my bachelor's in. I actually got a double in religious studies, which I'm not a religious person, but I found that I learned a lot more about people by studying like the world's religions and cultures. And so just fell into this like as a crafter myself, essentially. And it turns out I have this like entrepreneurial, can't even say it, streak that, you know, just kind of took over. So it feels kind of like a calling in that way.
There's a Scott Fitzgerald quote that I like absolutely love. I don't have it memorized, but it's basically talking about there's no like script in life. You can be whatever you want to be and you can do anything that you want to do. And if you want to start from scratch, like go ahead, do it. Like there's no rules to this thing. Your story kind of reminds me of that. Even when you say like, maybe I will go back and do therapy one day or counseling. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, you only have one life, so there's definitely not a straight line. So I think it comes a lot down to opportunities and where your path leads you.
You talked a little bit earlier about your last kind of round of Renegades was back in 2019, and then obviously the pandemic just kind of turned everything upside down. So yeah, how has the pandemic impacted y'all's vision for Renegade, and how have y'all been able to kind of pivot in 2020 and moving forward in y'all's plans?
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a year for everyone. Being a live event company definitely just stopped us in our tracks, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we weren't, you know, diversified at the time. So we really had to kind of scramble and figure out, yeah, how are we going to pivot? And so we took the opportunity to basically figure out some new, you know, revenue streams or business kind of opportunities and try to develop those in this downtime, and also just rethink how we want to bring back fairs. And it probably will mean some changes. Like I think we were in, I want to say 9 cities in 2019, and we'll probably not be able to do events in 9 cities in 2021, obviously. So I think it'll be a combination of like going forward, keeping, you know, a bunch of our events, like our flagship events that we know are tried and true. We want to instead, you know, focus on this like online community that we've kind of nurtured over this last year. And so we did like 7 virtual events when this all broke out. And that was cool because it turned on a lot of artists to be able to participate in something like that that wouldn't have been able to participate in Renegade before because they just, you know, couldn't travel to the cities we were in or what have you. We thought that was really cool, and like I've been thinking a lot about just diversity and inclusivity, and you know, one way we can do more of that is just being, like something, a platform that anybody can participate on. So we essentially want to, you know, we developed an online shop that anybody can apply to be a part of. It's a curated shop, but anybody can apply. And, you know, so we're working on some things like that, and then bringing back the fairs just like better than ever. So it was a huge learning experience. In the end, we're hoping we'll be stronger for it all. Yeah, we're like 14 months in, still not doing events, but we are getting ready to launch events. So that's good. Like things are on the up and up.
Yeah, gosh. I feel like at minimum, everyone, I can feel just kind of this surging energy. I like what you were saying too about last year really being a journey of learning. You mentioned that you guys took a step back and were looking at how to be more, you know, just inclusive within the craft scene. Would you be open to sharing just kind of what y'all's learning journey has been in that space?
For us, we think about the two spaces. So one's like internally. So we've picked apart like, you know, our company culture before this. Like we were 18 people at our largest in 2019. And now we're 5 people. We've been working together as this really small, tight-knit team. And, you know, when you're at a larger staff size, you need kind of like managers and things in place. Yeah. And learning that sometimes that can create like silos and people not feeling included. And that was like a good learning curve to kind of figure out like, how do you rebuild? We're adding like two more people to our team actually in June to gear up for events again. And so like, how can we maintain this like really small team vibe? And it still will be pretty small. And these are people that were on our team before and stuff. So it, you know, we'll have a cozy vibe still, but I don't know that it had a cozy vibe before. And I want to just make sure that that's the focus, is like how to make sure like everyone feels included no matter what, you know, goes into hiring, like what are our hiring practices going forward and things like that. And bringing diversity into that and inclusiveness into that more and more, obviously, you know, as far as, you know, our company goes, we are going to be developing like grant programs, developing charitable giving programs, and trying to involve the community in that as well. Yeah. And, you know, now, like we didn't used to track demographics. We're just more of like a mission-driven company. We, you know, just haven't ever really wanted to seem intrusive. So we never really gathered like demographic data, but it's really helpful in kind of knowing where a company is at. So we started doing that for our artists that are in the shop and things just currently, is to just really know where we're at and being able to track that and just see how we're doing, being able to have sights into that essentially, and being able to improve from there. It's been fascinating to just like delve more into it. And I've learned like a lot just taking to read and listen and think about ways that we can be more involved and give back and be more inclusive, essentially.
I like what you said about by taking an intentional look, it's creating more opportunities to engage the community and to create community. And so, Susie, the podcast is all about creating community. And so I want to ask you, how have you personally experienced Renegade, kind of embodied this sense of community for you, and how have you seen it do that for others?
Because I'm still involved, I'm still running the company, like there's still this through line to the original like founding of the company. So it kind of goes back to that. This is kind of an ecosystem unto itself, like it's its own microeconomy, if you will. So there's definitely that side. I think for like attendees coming to a fair too, you can come and connect directly with the artist making something that you're going to purchase, and you know like where your money is going. And on the flip side, the artist knows where their money is coming from and who their customer is and things. They get to talk to them, and there's just like very tangible exchange between the artist and the buyer, and there's not this, you know, middle man. You kind of come to the event and it's like all about what's there, like, you know, just the work is so beautiful, and everyone's story, like you get to hear everyone's story, and it goes both ways. It's like the vendor and the attendee are kind of like, oh, I'm from here and I'm from there, and like all this cool stuff. So it's almost like a party. I don't know.
Like, it is. I would second that.
But yeah, we try to create just this communal kind of festive vibe for these more meaningful exchanges to go down. And I think we're all a little more conscious, or want to be a little more conscious about where we're getting things and why we're getting them. And it's not this like mindless shopping at a big box store or on Amazon or whatever. So
as you were saying that it's kind of creating connection, I feel like that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I like literally leave Renegade Craft like on cloud nine, right? It's just, it's such an amazing experience putting that side by side with going to the mall or like shopping online and being able to actually interact with people on a more personal level. Really, they're sharing like a piece of them when they're sharing their art and their space and their craft. Like we're designed as humans to need that connection. And so what you've created with that is just a really, like you said, a unique vessel.
I can't wait to do it again. One day soon.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today, Susie.
Thank you.
Isn't Susie just the best? I think I say this after every episode, but each conversation I get to have for the podcast leaves me full of energy and so inspired. Each person is someone I truly admire for rocking it in their space, and I get so giddy each time going into an interview. With that being said, I would love to hear from you, my listeners. I know you know people in your spaces who are doing amazing things to cultivate community. If you have anyone in mind who you would love to hear on the show, send me their information. You can reach out to me on Instagram at Reside Podcast. And y'all, I'm moving up in the world. I now have a Twitter, so you can tweet at me too. Is that the right terminology? Not sure. But anyways, you get the idea. Moving on. Guys, thanks for listening to the show today. As always, I hope it leaves you feeling challenged and encouraged to cultivate community in your own space, and know that I'm cheering you on in that. The podcast has a new episode every other Wednesday. Follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so that you don't miss a show. And if you're loving what you're listening to, don't forget to rate the show on Apple Podcasts so that others can discover the show as well. Okay, so this is the part of the episode where I tell you what's coming up on the podcast, and y'all, I am stoked for the next few episodes. We are diving into a mini-series, talking with some key players about how to build a sustainable community. We're leaving no stone unturned, covering everything from sustainable eating to conscious consumerism. It's thought-provoking and has an interesting angle for how to leave this community better than we found it. The first episode of the mini-series is launching Wednesday, July 7th, and trust me, you do not want to miss these next few shows. Until then, guys, I hope you have a wonderful week. Cheers!